for people maybe not familiar with this group, maybe tell us a little bit about the organization, which governments are involved, and why this conference is being held.
Pacific Northwest Economic Region is made up of five states and five provinces, territories, and the Yukon. So we've got Montana, Idaho, Oregon, Washington, and Alaska. And then we have BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, the Northwest Territories, and the Yukon. Those are the 10 members of PENWAR. The summit rotates each year. It'll be, so this year it's in Canada, obviously, in Saskatoon. Last year it was in Spokane, so it goes back and forth each year. In Saskatoon, we're hoping to have about 400 legislators and close to 200 private sector people there. So it's a big event.
What's the purpose behind it? Is it just to create better relations between the various regional governments?
So the main purpose is to enhance trade in the Pacific Northwest Economic Region. So whether it's cross-border issues, everything from invasive species to cybersecurity, anything that pertains to the Pacific Northwest Economic Region. So, you know, we've been heavily involved in agriculture, obviously, but there's many other things, especially on the cross-border livestock, you know, to do with cool or any of those events. We're kind of the group, and of course with the USMCA, we're the group in the background here, bringing information from our representatives, our policymakers, and whatever, and from the private sector to governments, to DC and to Ottawa. So I guess it's sort of like a lobby group, but I think we're way more connected than most lobby groups.
How influential is the organization when it comes to developing national regulations that impact the region, whether it be in Washington, D.C. or here in Ottawa?
Well, I can tell you that in my term here as president for this past year, and I've done my capital visits to the five states this past winter in January, we have been invited to testify in D.C. and in Ottawa on many, many issues, cross-border issues. Just recently, we had on the northeast corner of Montana, the border crossings there. The CBP was going to reduce the hours on those border crossings. So PENWAR, that's one of our big things, is to enhance border crossing, not shorten the hours, whatever. So we got involved there. I attended many, many meetings down there, and we were able to hold those for now while they're still under review. So, you know, it's those kinds of things, just brings a little different perspective, not only from the legislators, but from the private sector and the effects that it has on trade and you know, whether it's tourism or whatever.
How would you term the relations between the various state and provincial governments? Is it a friendly working relationship, or have we seen any changes over the last couple of years?
Well, you know, we try to keep the politics out of it. It's totally bipartisan. We, you know, everybody knows if you're a Republican or Democrat or Liberal or SAS Party or whatever. However, we try to keep that out of there. We try to do what's right for the region. So I would say, for me personally, I mean, I have great relationships with all those states that we are partners with, are members with, and even in Canada here too, with the territories, Yukon, BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan. You know, we have issues here with pipelines and whatever, but at the end of the day, we are able to sit in a room and have very constructive meetings and you know, respect each other's areas.
Let's talk about some of the issues that are going to be covered here in Saskatoon. It's a wide range of topics, isn't it? It's one of those conferences, summits, where it's hard to wrap your head around all the things that are being discussed.
It really is. I mean, we have 22 working groups, and this year we've added not necessarily a working group, but we have a First Nations tribe meeting on Wednesday morning. And what the idea of this is because we are in Saskatchewan and we have a lot of First Nations investment into the economy, but personally I wanted to know what the impediments are for First Nations and tribes to invest into the economy, because we need their investment and they need us. And it's never been done at PENWAR before, so I'm really looking forward to this. Sean Willey is heading this up, and we've got Leah Henneke out of the U of R. I believe we have four or five tribes represented from the U.S., bands that are in have different economic investments, and about the same from Canada. So we're looking for a real good presentation there and some good questions. I believe that Premier McLeod from the Northwest Territories, who is Indigenous, will also be on that panel in there. So it's going to be interesting to see, especially for the private sector folks, and the way legislation works in Canada and the way legislation works in the U.S. when it comes to First Nations and tribes is totally different. So, you know, we can pick up on the pluses from both sides of the border and hopefully implement them into a better economy.
You spoke about business organizations. What role do they play in this organization, and how closely do the state and provincial governments listen to their input?
On each working group, there's a legislator as a co-chair, and there's somebody from the private sector. For instance, I'm on the ag working group, and so I'm from the government, obviously, on there. And then my co-chair is Patrick Cole from the Idaho Potato Commission. He's does their government affairs and legal counsel for them. So between the two of us, we co-chair that. The private sector is extremely important here. Without the private sector, first of all, financially, Penmore probably wouldn't exist. We couldn't carry on our own. And the input that they give to us as legislators to make trade and commerce better within the Pacific Northwest region is invaluable. There's every year, like from these summits and from the winter meeting for that matter, but mostly from the summit, there's always something new that crops up and good suggestions to the legislators working on both sides of the border. You know, they have, like, Washington and BC have very close trade relationships there, and, you know, big ports there and whatever. They need to hear what the impediments are and how they can make it better. And there's been great advancements there, whether it's on land, water, or air. So there's lots that comes out of this.
There are 22 working groups. You mentioned agriculture. Maybe run through a few of the larger other working groups.
Of course, with ag, we now have the Border Livestock Health Working Group, which has really grown. It's not only to do with veterinarians, but it's to do with trade back and forth across the borders and the issues that they have. Cybersecurity is a big one. Now we've been working on behalf of the Department of Homeland Security in the U.S., drone technology and setting up drone workshops throughout the U.S. And this is more to get along the line of standard drone rules and regulations, I guess you would say. So those workshops have been going on, and it's been financed by the Department of Homeland Security. That's been a strong one. Invasive species, for me, is another touchy one with quagga and zebra mussels. In the U.S., we've been able to lobby on behalf of the members in the Pacific Northwest and received, it'll be close to $16 million this year federally, with matching dollars to each of those four states to fight quagga and zebra mussels. In Canada, we have a little different situation. We get absolutely no funding from the federal government, so the provinces are on their own, and it's a tough one. I mean, there's no remedy to kill these things. It's all about awareness, and so, you know, we've been lobbying the federal government to have a national program on, you'll see in the province, the clean, dry, drain boat inspection signs and all of those. We need that right across Canada so everybody knows. These mussels originated out of the Great Lakes. They're coming this way. They're in Lake Winnipeg now. They're in the Red River, and they can be devastating to irrigation or, any of your power generation stations. It can be devastating because they'll just plug everything up. So that's a real big one. Then, of course, energy is always a hot item, whether it be pipelines, oil, whatever. This year on Tuesday, I believe, Murad Al-Khatib will be there, and he'll be speaking on the capturing Asian markets. So we've got him, and along with John Stackhouse, Senior Vice President of the Royal Bank of Canada, and Victor Thomas will moderate that from the Asian Pacific Foundation. So that will be very interesting. To kick it off, actually, right away on Monday morning, we're going to have some ambassadors there, and we've got former U.S. Ambassador David Wilkins, we've got former Canadian Ambassador Michael Kerrigan, and U.S. Ambassador David Jacobson, and then I learned this morning that Ambassador Kelly Craft is also going to be here. So, and that'll be moderated by Scotty Greenwood from the Canadian American Business Council, and that's hosted by Nutrien. So that, to kick it off on Monday, that's going to be extremely interesting there. And of course, Monday at noon, we have the Honorable Scott Moe will make his presentation, and we're looking forward to that. Other ones that, you know, tourism, forestry, trade, all of them have strong, strong working groups. You know, these working groups have been going on for 20 years now, and of course, people change on them, but I'm amazed all the time on the how current it is. It's not old data coming forward. It's working all the time. Probably one of the ones that really has gained, you know, a lot of interest is the climate policy and economic growth. And we'll have our minister, the Honorable Dustin Duncan, will be at that. We also have our minister of resources, the Honorable Bronwyn Eyre, will be at the infrastructure resilience and energy innovations. So it's a full week. it just goes steady. There's no breaks. It just goes steady. So yeah, it's a great event.